for you. Give you the adoration because you are God. Give us the opportunity and the privilege of being close to you like never before. Like never before. Like never before. Thank you, Master. Lift up your hands, everyone. Close to you, close to you, close to you, close to you, Lord, I pray. Draw me, Lord, close to you. Tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I will tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something no one on earth can do. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would love to tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something no one on earth could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. And there is no friend so kind. No one else could take my sins and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. No one ever cared for me. Full of sin. When Jesus found me, and my heart was full of misery and woe. But Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. And no one ever cared for me like Jesus. And there is joy as he is. No one else could get my sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. No man for me. Oh, how much he cares for me. Oh, how much he cares for me. Jesus, thank you for caring so much for us. Thank you, Jesus. No one ever cared for me, loved me, but there is no friends of kind. And darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. Let us answer. Breathe upon this assembly this morning, Lord. Let not one person live here the same way they have come. Lift your hands high. And there is a name given above all names, by which men must be saved, healed, and delivered. It's the name Jesus. Can you whisper that name? And burdens are lifted at Calvary, Calvary, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Thank you for lifting burdens this morning. Thank you for lifting bodies this morning. healing the sick, delivering the oppressed, touching the needy. We worship your Lord in Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a clap of hand as you take your seat. I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning in Jesus' precious name. I also like to bring greetings to you from Ilorin, Kwara State. We had the most exciting crusade in our estimation, what looked like what looked a little bit to us was in the estimation of the people of the land a very, very rare kind of gathering. They have only, according to them, seen such level of impact maybe twice, or as long as they remember. And so we are grateful to God for the privilege. Minister's conference was highly impactful, and lives were changed, destinies were transformed, and we give the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords the praise. We'll look at the clips later on. Someone verse 1 to 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. The subject is destiny destroying character. Destiny destroying character. Our objective is to understudy character traits that destroy destiny. Character traits. I am trusting the Lord to be able to finish this up before the rest of the month. And if it is possible, and do all you can, to be in the midweek services so we can finish up this traits. We saw on Wednesday that there is a strong connection between character and destiny. We saw that people of strong character in Scripture were people of strong destiny. We saw the examples of Joseph, the example of Esther, and other such people in Scripture. Today, we want to examine specific character traits to avoid in order to fulfill our God-ordained destiny. Specific character trait to avoid. And the first one we want to deal with is the original Luciferic sin. It's called pride. The original sin that was invented where there was no sin. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. It says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 to verse 19. He said, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goeth before destruction, and an arrogant spirit before a fall. There is an easy way to know that a man is about to be destroyed. When pride is noticed, there is an easy way to know that someone is about to crash. When pride is noticed. Next, verse 19 says, better is it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. It is a better thing to be humble. It's a better thing to be lowly than to have any wealth or riches as a proud man, because it has no future. If we look through scripture, we will see examples of individuals that were ruined by pride. Our first example here is Lucifer. Pride was responsible for the crash of Lucifer. The crash of Lucifer. What turned Lucifer into Satan was pride. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, all the way to verse 15, popular scripture, he said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? What was responsible? What brought you down, Lucifer? What crashed you? What collapsed you? Then the answer comes. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. You shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12 to verse 15, talks further about Lucifer. It says, son of man, take up in lamentation upon the king of Tyros, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Is describing Lucifer. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in you in the day that thou was created. This was a personality that God created not with dust like man, but created with precious stones, with diamond, with beryl, with jasper. Place that scripture on the screen. With beryl, with sardius, with topaz, with diamond, with beryl, with onyx, with jasper, with sapphire, with emerald, with carbuncle, even with gold. Take it off now. And wired into him music equipment, tabrets, pipes. No wonder music people in the world try to go to Satan to get inspiration and get musical power. We are reading on to verse 15. And he said, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have said this so. He was a covering archangel that covered the throne that was upon the holy mountain of God. Archangel that covered the throne. Michael was archangel of battle and he still is.
Gabriel was archangel of message, messenger archangel. This one was the archangel that was like the prefect of the archangels and that covered the throne. And then, what happened? I have said this so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Till iniquity was found in this personality in a world of no iniquity. That is why the iniquity of Lucifer cannot be atoned for. He invented sin. He was not tempted. He originated it. He sinned where there shouldn't be sin. And from there, he crashed. In Luke chapter 10, verse 17, the master said, okay, verse 19. All right. Take verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning crash from heaven. When iniquity was found in him, I think that Jehovah commissioned the warrior group, Archangel Michael. See, this guy is not part of here anymore. What are you watching for? And kicked him out. With the speed of light, he scattered on the face of the earth. It was a cataclysmic disaster that left the original creation without form and void. And then crashed all the way to hell. Because iniquity was found in him. You will not crash. That was Lucifer. Our example, in fact, that should suffice actually for this service. But let's take a second example. Our second example was the dethronement. Because of time, let's take the example. Number two, pride was responsible for the crash of King Nebuchadnezzar. The proud king of Babylon. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 29, all the way to verse 33, he said, at the end of 12 months, he walked, that's Nebuchadnezzar, in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power? My. For the honor of my majesty, is it not this king Babylon I built? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. The kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled in Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Verse 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven. He never looked up to God before. It was himself. And my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him. Now he had learned sense. That liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. This was Nebuchadnezzar, the proudest king ever to live. He made an image of gold. 90 feet, about 2 trailers high. His image. They molded him, himself, that is standing all over Babylon, like 2 trailers high. And when everybody heard the sound of the gong, they bowed down to his image himself. He had become God. And God said, I will show you are not God. He did that in chapter 3. And in chapter 4, God sent him to the bush. In verse 37, look at what Nebuchadnezzar said in Daniel chapter 4, verse 37. He said, now, before I didn't know anything, but now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride like myself, he is able to reduce. He's not talking from revelation. He is talking from humiliation. Hallelujah. That is nothing about destiny like pride. There is something we call in medicine abortifacients. You remember abortifacients? Things, drugs that would just push out a baby. Things that would just maybe the side effect of a drug just pushes out a baby. Pride is an abortifacient. Easily pushes out a man's destiny. Hallelujah. Now, what is pride all about? Pride, number one, is the exaggerated estimation of one's importance. When a person exaggerates his importance, that is, we know you are important. We know everyone God created is important, is vital. But when your own is an exaggerated estimation of one's importance, it is an overestimation of one's worth. A healthy estimation of yourself is correct, is accurate. Moving about with inferiority mentality is anti-destiny as well. But when there is an exaggerated estimation of one's importance, it is pride. What is pride? Two, pride is esteeming oneself with superiority and others with inferiority. You esteem yourself with superiority and esteem others with inferiority. It is the exhibition of a superiority mentality to the detriment of others' existence. The exhibition. It looks down and talks down on others. Pride. And what? So, when a person has a bloated evaluation, when a person looks down, talks down on others, pride practicalized. What will pride lead to? Number one, we already saw it. Pride goes before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. That is very, very important. Pride goes before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. We saw that already in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goes before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. That is, before a man is to be finished, his heart is haughty. But before God will honor a man, that man will possess humility. Before honor is humility. There is a way to know that a man is about to crash when he embraces pride. And there is a way to know that God is about to honor a person when they possess humility. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. I remember the story of a young man. Listen to this. God began to use him with miracles, signs, and wonders. Blind eyes will see, deaf ears will hear, and so on. And then he stopped coming to church. He's a member of church. But that is not strange, because the Bible said these signs shall follow them that believe. It didn't say these signs shall follow pastors or apostles. These signs shall follow them that believe. The young man stopped coming to church. And they told him, won't you come to church again? He said, which church? That pastor. He's calling his pastor that pastor. When he prays, do blind eyes see? Do deaf ears hear? The gift of God turned this man into a beast. Not long after that, became a drunkard, ran mad, at the frequency of pride. The same devils he was casting out, when those demons saw pride, they returned and ruined him. One young man was talking carelessly to his spiritual father. And his spiritual father said, me that carried you, I backed you when you were nothing. Is it me you are talking to like this? He said, you back me, drop me. If you claim you are the one who backed me, okay, drop me. And the man said, I drop you. That one ended miserably. A spiritual father, a man too that raised you. He said, me who backed you, who carry you at my back, is the one you are talking to this. So if you are the one who carry me at your back, drop me. He said, okay, I drop you. I drop you. And God heard it. And heaven heard it. Angels heard it. Demons heard it. That man dropped. He dropped and crashed. I think he died blind. I drop you. Please don't ever let any realm of success, any realm of miracle enter your head. We are going to talk about the treatment of pride shortly. Is anybody hearing anything here? If the devil is about to destroy a person, he will inflate their heads with pride. With arrogance. There are so many people struggling in life today because of fullness of self. So, what is the effect of pride? Number one, pride goes before a fall. Please complete it. And a haughty spirit before destruction. The others, I'm going to mention them in other services because of time. Secondly, pride disconnects man from the presence of God. It disconnects man from the presence of God. I will look at that in detail in the second service. You can't feel God. God is never near a proud person. Third, pride deprives people of grace. Any level of grace you will ever see dries up when pride arrives. And of course, you know, we stand by grace. I'll talk about that in the third service. Grace. It deprives people. But fourthly, this is important to all services, pride will cost people eternity with God in heaven. If Lucifer couldn't remain in heaven because of pride, nobody can enter heaven with pride. We saw that already. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 15. Pride will cost people eternity with God in heaven. If pride could check Lucifer out of heaven, nobody may enter heaven with pride. Somebody say, I don't commit fornication, adultery. I don't steal, I don't kill. But I am as arrogant as a peacock. It's the same eternal destiny of hell. But that will never be your portion. What is the therapy? The treatment of pride. Number one is the revelation and realization of our nothingness without God. The revelation and realization of man's nothingness without God. John chapter 15 and in verse 5, he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. The only thing you are able to achieve outside of me, Jesus said, is nothing. If you want to achieve nothing with your life, try and do without me. The realization, the revelation and realization of man's nothingness without God. Now specify it to yourself. The revelation and realization of my nothingness without God. Of your nothingness without God. Or personalize it. Of our nothingness without God. More of you and all of you and none of me is what my heart cries for, Lord. May I decrease that you may increase. May you be the Lord of all of you. You may increase, may you be the Lord of all. The realization. Jesus himself in John 5:30, see what he said? I can of my own self do nothing. John 5:30. I can of my, even myself. Myself that is God the Son, who has come in the flesh, by myself, I can do nothing. I am dependent, I am reliant on my master. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not to do my will. I am helpless without God. See Nebuchadnezzar who said, see Babylon I built. When God separated from him, what happened? I told one arrogant guy the other day, I say, subtract what God has done through this ministry in your life. Subtract it. And let me know the balance. Everything God has used this ministry to do in your life and this church and myself and this commission and this mantle and God has done. Can you subtract it from your life? What is the balance? He said, nothing. 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 And that is how all of us are without God. Subtract everything God has done in your life, including the breath you have in your nose, including the heart that is beating, including the brain that is working, and let us have the balance. This realization will humble you. This realization will cause you to calm down. That is number one. Number two is revelation of God's glory through intimacy. The revelation of God's glory through intimacy. That is, you are close enough to God to see who He is. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 5, He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above Him stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings. With 20 covered His face, with 20 covered His feet, and with 20 did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Every time you see His almightiness, you will also see your nothingness. The reason why we think we are something is because we haven't seen God. Am I communicating? Whenever you come in contact with His almightiness, you become acutely aware of your nothingness. We will only think we are something if we are distant from God, if we are disconnected from God, if we don't know God. That was why Lucifer's sin was unpardonable, because he saw the almightiness of God and still exhibited pride. Whenever you see His almightiness, you will realize your nothingness. So what is the therapy? Camp around God. Camp around God. Run away from those who will clap for you in your error. Run away from those who will inflate your head with praise. Don't hang around those who have nothing to tell you but what you want to hear. Go to the God and hang around Him who can tell you everything, including the things you don't want to hear. Camp with God and you kill your pride. Camp with God and you kill your pride. Camp with God and you kill your arrogance. Finally, the third therapy is the revelation and realization of who and what you were. Before God helped you, who and what you were. General one is our general revelation of our nothingness without God. Now, who and what you were. Paul the Apostle spoke so eloquently in Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 8. Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 8. Let me read for this service 1 Corinthians 15, 9 to 10. Look at what he said. He said, for I am the least of the apostles. I am not even qualified to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am now what I am. I am what I am. And this grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. See, there are many of us that God has helped despite our character of the past. despite our tendencies. That is, you didn't do some things, but there are things you have the ability of doing. Hello? And the only thing that restrained you was God. Despite your proclivities, God still helped you. Truth is, anywhere you are now, there are people better than you who are not there. That is, I want that, let that humble you. If it is prayer, there are those who prayed more than you, who fasted more than you, who are more intelligent than you. Stand up on your feet. That's the reality. I'm fully aware that there are those who have prayed more than me, who have fasted more than me. I'm fully aware of that. There are those who see more revelations than me. They see per second, per second. So it's not my powerfulness that is the reason for where I am. It is His faithfulness. So I trust Him and receive His grace to walk with that mentality, with that consciousness. Very, very important. And I'm sure that you have understood this morning. Pride does not mean, or humility doesn't mean an inferiority mentality. It does not mean move about wretched. You have a healthy sense of who you are in God, yet you have enough sense to know that by the grace of God you are what you are. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and let us appreciate Him for His word this morning. Appreciate Him, honor Him, worship Him.
Lord, make me a practical instrument for You. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord, Lord. Make me a practical instrument. Use me, Lord. Lift your voice and sing now, Lord. Make me a practical instrument for You. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord, Lord. Make me a practical instrument for You. Use me, Lord. Please use me, Lord, Lord. Make me a practical instrument for You. Use me, Lord. Use me, use me, use me, Lord, Lord. Make me a practical instrument for You. Use me, Lord. Please use me, Lord, Lord. Make me a practical instrument for You. Use me, Lord. Sing it to my time, Lord. Make me a practical instrument for You. Use me, oh Lord.
Please use me, Lord, Lord.
Make me a practical instrument for You. Use me. Please use me, Lord, Lord. Oh Lord, make me a practical instrument for You. Sing it one more time, Lord. Make it a practical instrument for you. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord, Lord. Make me a practical instrument for you. Use me.
Lift your hands and thank the Lord for the word you heard this morning. Father, I thank you for the word I heard this morning. I give you the praise. I give you the honor. I give you the adoration. I worship you. I honor you. I adore you. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Adoration to your name. Thank you, Master. And thank you, Master. And thank you, Master. And thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Lift your hands after me and say, Father, I give you the praise and I give you the honor and the adoration for this moment. I have come before you today to drop every pride, every negative lifestyle that is a limitation to my destiny. I ask for forgiveness. I ask for mercy where I have erred. Open your mouth and speak to God.
I want more of you. I want more of you. Jesus, the more I know you, is the more I want to know you. Jesus, more of you. I want more of you. I want more of you, Jesus, the more I know you, it is the more I want to know you, Jesus, more of you.
In the name of Jesus, lift up your hands everywhere. Those who want to drop pride, but not just that, any other lifestyle, anything you want God to forgive you of, you want your sins forgiven, you want to live a new life, and to make today to mark a new day for you. Pick your Bibles, pick your bags, and step forward here, and we shall be praying for you. Say, Pastor, I want to be saved. I feel like I'm independent of God. I am even arrogant against God. I want to live my life independent of Him. I am trying to claim that I can succeed by myself. I am sorry. I want to be forgiven. Quickly come forward here. You have an addiction that needs to leave you. Also come forward here. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Also come forward here. Pick your Bibles and pick your bags. Quickly step forward.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every step that I take, every moment I'm away. Have your way, Lord, have your way. Everybody sing, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. I live for you alone. Every moment I'm awake. Every moment I'm awake. Have your way, Lord. Everybody sing. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
I live for you alone.
Every breath I take,
everybody sing, Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone, I live for you alone, I live for you alone. Everybody see,
Lord,
I give you my heart, my soul,
I live for you,
Lord,
every breath that I take,
have your way, Lord,
have your way.
Stretch your hands towards the people. Place your right hand on your chest, all of you on your knees, and pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life today. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. Forward ever. Backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Be upstanding, everybody. Please lift up your hands everywhere you are. Place one right hand on your chest. And leave the other hand up, right under your chest. I just heard the Lord saying pride has caused a lot of marital disharmonies. Husband is wrong. He's too proud to say, I'm sorry. Wife is wrong. She's too arrogant to say, I'm sorry. Employer, employee. Colleagues, friends, contemporaries, too proud. But I see healing. There are people with a lot of luggages in their heart right now. Burdens being dropped. Emotional hurts and pains. Trauma from pride of people. Jesus. Close your eyes. Father, heal someone's heart now. Liberate someone now. Deliver somebody now. Break a chain and break a yoke now. See someone's ears popping open, physically, spiritually. Somebody's physical heart is being healed. That pain is gone. That heart disease is over.
In the name of Jesus.
Financial life is being healed. Deliverance from satanic conspiracy, from enemy traps and accusation.
Now,
in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Father. It's a new day for someone. New help and new mercy. In Jesus' name.